Hello, I am Kathy Arundel, a life coach and the host of Coaching with Kath. I have been advising and helping others for over 30 years. I have been
There's no way that worked, Mike.
Okay. I told you Jeremy was going to work. Look, she has no idea.
Is she brain dead?
What? No, she's very smart, very, very intelligent.
Mike, I saw what you drew on the inside of the box. It's all in crayon.
Well, yeah, but it's very realistic. And it wasn't crayon, it was pastels. Ooh. Yes. And I've recreated the entirety of her studio in the inside of this box. That way, as the box falls, she has no idea that we're going to be in her studio stealing her podcast.
Is there lights in there?
What?
I'd imagine it'd get real dark when it dropped over.
Yeah, there's like a flashlight on the ceiling. So yeah, all we got to do, she coaches people. She gives people life advice and things like that. So that's what we're going to be doing today.
You think we can do that?
Look, she's got callers on the line.
Don't you
got
to be certified or something?
What? No. To give advice?
I don't know. I can print something out, put it on the wall.
You and I have each given people advice. Very good advice, might I add, over the years.
Only one of them killed themselves.
Well, Jeremy. Is that for you?
It's totally unrelated.
God damn it, Jeremy.
It's like a double-edged knife. You cut me to the core. You introduce me to a girl I've never seen before. When I catch my breath, you're waiting at the door. With all the words I've heard you say, there were so many more. If they were true, at least I could be proud. I would wear that shit around. Looking back now, if I were you, I'd quit running my mouth. I'd sit down, you've given every excuse. I wish I would've cheated. I wish I would've lied. I wish I would've fucked your best friend when we said goodbye. If it's my reputation that helps you sleep at night, at least I can own it, tell them all that I'm the bad guy. So that's the difference between me and you. I can never do the things he said I did to you. Do you remember taking her home, taking off her shoes? You'll never tell them all what happened, so I'll say it for you. I've always said the good guy always wins. Maybe ignorance is bliss, I'll admit. I wish I would've cheated. I wish I would've lied. I wish I would've fucked your best friend when we said goodbye. And it's my reputation you sleep at night. At least I can only tell them all that I'm the bad guy.
Welcome to Michael and Jeremy's Studio Podcast, where we do your podcast better, faster, stronger, and
hornier.
That's right. We have Coaching with Kath, Jeremy, a life coach who gives advice to people to help them better their lives, put themselves at the front of the line, you know, put themselves first. Stop thinking about others and fix yourself.
Is she like a psychiatrist? Like Dr. Melfi from The Sopranos?
I think it's a life coach. I don't think you need any type of school.
She's not a doctor?
I don't know. I never asked her.
Oh.
I just put a box over her and stole her podcast. But what she does, Jeremy, she has a life coach business, which I'll absolutely make sure to plug. Because as we emulate the type of coaching she gives here today, I think that there's probably going to be a lot of people out there that are going to want to hear some of the advice that she brings on her show and possibly book an appointment to get their own life coaching through Kath. So
we're giving out advice today?
We're giving advice. We have a gentleman. He needs our help, Jeremy. He needs our help. And I've already vetted him through this button here. He was waiting on the line to talk with Dr. Probably not a doctor. I don't know. I don't know her credentials.
Dr. Sandy.
He was calling Mrs. Kath here, and we're going to intercept this phone call and help him out, okay?
You're pointing at the table like there's a button there, but it's just a table.
Stop destroying the illusion.
Oh, okay.
All right. So we have Christopher on. Hello, Christopher.
Hey, Chris.
Hey, Dr. Kath. You sound like two men.
Oh, I'm sorry. Dr. Kath had to use the bathroom, and it's going to be a doozy. So instead, you get me and Jeremy. Michael and Jeremy.
Hey, Chris, this is Jeremy from Michael and Jeremy's Senior Podcast.
No,
how are you
we're
doing?
Life coaches.
So you stole her podcast.
Oh, that's neither here or there. You need help. We're here to help you.
Did I pay for this?
Wait, did they pay?
Did you pay?
We're in the wrong business.
wait, you can make money off of this?
Well, I mean, it's mental health coaching.
We give out life advice. Chris, tell me about your life, buddy.
Yeah, what is it you need help with, buddy? We're here for you.
Introduce yourself.
Oh, we're all ears. The floor is yours.
Raise your hand and introduce yourself. Tell us one of your favorite hobbies.
I told him his floor was his, Jeremy.
Right. Favorite hobby?
Oh, God damn it.
Actually, I'd kind of like to tell you how I feel about the Israel-Palestine conflict.
You know what? That was going to be one of my next questions.
You're going to bite?
We'll get to that one later after the life advice.
Yeah, let's do the advice, and then we'll ask you some other questions.
We'll do an interview segment at
God
the end.
God damn it, Chris. Okay, continue.
So you want me to get like right into the problem?
I want to know what
background?
You need. Yeah.
Who are you? Well, where are you from?
I think if you want to start at the beginning. Give us as much information as you think that we need to help give you the advice that you are yearning for.
Well, in the beginning, it was pretty dark and kind of wet.
And then God damn it,
really
Chris.
Bright white.
Get out of your mom's womb. Fast forward.
So, Chris, your name is Chris. We talked earlier. You said your name was CJ.
Yeah, yeah. Do you go by CJ? Yeah.
What's that CJ stand for? What's the J stand for?
John.
Ooh.
Jenkins.
Chris John.
Yeah.
Chris yeah, Jenkins
yeah.
John.
So, my grandparents were too lazy to name my dad Jonathan. They just named him John. Ooh. They did that with all their kids.
Like, I have a friend that did the same thing because I did that one time. I was like, hello, Jonathan, my friend's child. He's like, no, his name is just John.
Yeah. Well, my grandparents were just like, that's too many syllables. So one. But so that's my middle name. But I guess for like the life advice portion here, like, I guess the problem really starts 17 years ago in my freshman semester of college.
That's where it starts. Yeah.
Right.
Famously.
Where I was inebriated all the time. And
as was I.
I think you guys referred to it as the devil's lettuce on one of your episodes. So
yeah, Mike's always called it that.
Yeah, there was a time where our big joke was we were casual smokers and we casually smoked every 2 to 3 hours.
So, okay.
Go on.
So I met this girl and things go from there. There were lots of red flags, but I was already stupid and young and then...
And horny.
Yeah, all the time. And I still am right now. Yeah, so lots of red flags, ignored them because I'm dumb. Family members were like, hey, there's red flags. And I was like,
what kind of red flags?
Yeah, give us an example. One example.
She was a communist.
Yeah.
She had literal red flags around the house.
I just watched her eat someone.
Well, she eventually became the dictator, so I guess kind of. But
so she started off as a socialist. Makes sense.
More like a monarch. But, yeah, no, just stuff like her parents kept kicking her out of the house left and right. And I was just like, oh, this is terrible. I'm going to save you because I'm a white knight. And
oh, no.
I know the feeling, buddy.
I'm going to save you. But
so you were the women in all of my relationships that tried to save me.
And you were me.
And you were Mike.
So, you know, trying to do that, and over the course of 15 years, eventually, it was like 9 years in, 10, 11, 12, for two now, he's six, so...
Pick a number, damn it.
Oh, no, hold on, I'm like trying to do math here, it's terrible, I'm really bad at it. So 11 years in is when our son was born, so things weren't great, but... You know, sometimes people have kids to try to make things better, right?
Wait, so you did 11 years of red flags and then had a baby?
Yeah.
What were some of these red flags? I want to know
what did you notice right away? Was it marriage? Did marriage get involved or was it just dating, being together?
The thing is like when you're with this kind of person, they end up brainwashing you into believing like you're not good enough for anybody else. You're lucky to be in the spot you're in, even though... Ooh. You're being treated like garbage. You should be grateful for what you got because really nobody else is ever going to talk.
I'm the best you'll ever find.
Right. Giant piece of shit situation. And when she had met me, I wasn't exactly like the best human being on the planet. I was running around with gang members trying to pretend I was a thug, and I never joined any gangs, but like I was friends with a lot of them, and you know, so like I wasn't exactly
Malibu's most wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not quite like that. But,
whatever happened to Jamie Kennedy? Is he alive?
Drugs.
Sorry, Chris. Continue. CJ, I'm sorry.
Well, King Kong's got nothing on him. So, you know, but time goes on. We grow up. We move forward. And some people don't.
Did she ever call you any names? Was she a name caller?
All the time. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
What kind of names did she call you?
Asshole, piece of shit. And it just gets worse from there.
But there were no like personal ones, like I don't know what you look like, but like you big-eared freak. Did she ever like attack you personally with names?
Not really. They were usually pretty general.
Yeah, the normal ambiguous ones.
Oh, okay. So she wasn't very creative.
No.
Does not sound like it.
No, not that bright of a person. Anyways, I catch her cheating on me a couple times throughout the relationship.
Oof.
But mind you, I'm brainwashed at this point. So
like caught through texts or someone letting you know, did you walk in on it?
Someone told me he did her.
Ooh.
And I confronted her. Me and her dad confronted her and she denied it. And I chose to believe her because that was easier than not believing her and being in a weird situation. And then, this dude was randomly, I was on my laptop and she had forgotten to sign out of her Facebook account. And like, I'm one of those people where like, I don't care what I have, like electronics, passwords, accounts, like you can have access to it. It doesn't matter to me. I'm doing nothing outside of our personal life that I'm worried about you finding out. So right. I don't care. So
I did that too. Even when I was cheating, cause I didn't care. I was like, you can look through it if you want, but you're probably not going to like what you find.
But yeah. So anyway, I'm perusing something, it was like on Discord or something like that. And I started getting these Facebook messages from a guy who I never recognized. So I clicked it and opened it and realized it was her account that was open. And he was like, yo, let me get another picture of that white girl booty in a thong. And then she replies, maybe later.
Oh no.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, So then I confront her about that. She's like, how dare you read my messages, you horrible, terrible person. I was like, okay. But yeah, stuff like that. So anyway, she starts cheating on me with this guy she meets on PlayStation. And I knew about it, but like I was letting it go because at this point we already have a kid. And like my main focus is what's good for the kid.
Yeah. Us gentlemen tend to sacrifice a lot of our mental well-being, you know, a child forward. You know, all the issues you could ever have never go towards the child. And that puts us in a lot of precarious situations overall.
Right. So that ends up coming to a close. And like I knew it happened, but like I never brought it up. I never confronted her. And then I catch her with the guy she's with currently. She's cheating on me on PlayStation with this guy. And finally, I'm like, that's enough. I've had enough. Like I can only put up with so much.
Yeah.
Then there's like this 2 month long, like back and forth, like, am I trying to win her back or am I not? And then finally, like, I'm like, you know, I've not been in love with this woman in years. Like,
yeah,
what am I doing?
Yeah, what do you mean, get her back? Fight for her? Why?
But you know, when you're in that mental state, though, like, I'm time in, right? Like, I'm almost two decades in. You know, I did a whole bid with this woman.
Yeah, she got you for two decades. That's crazy.
Yeah, almost, yeah. Finally, I call it quits. I'm like, no, we're done. I can't do this. I'm like, we're going to still live in the same house for now because we have this child. He's autistic. He needs support and special care and all this other stuff. So we are going to coexist inside the same home and co-parent this child.
But separate. Separated, not together.
Correct.
Okay.
And right. So she makes everything formal with this other guy. Well, she's picking fights with me off and on, and like I'm like looking at him like, we're not together. I don't have to fight with you anymore.
Yeah.
We're talking about a person who would start on me at 8 o'clock in the morning and no bullshit would go until about 2 a.m. So it would be like all day, like almost 24 hours of yelling at me.
What did you do?
Yeah. How did you respond to that?
No. Why'd you piss her off?
Oh.
Oh. So like I would do things like hang out with my friends. Or play a video game she didn't want to play. or cook food that night that she didn't want to eat, or I farted in the bathroom.
But that's where, like that. That's where the farts take place.
Right.
It's literally the fart room.
Right. You know, it was just anything. Or if she was feeling bad about herself, she would start in on me because, you know, classic projection. But yeah. So anyway, about 6 months in, it's like, I tell her, I'm like, you got to get out of here. Like, I can't even live with you anymore. Like, this is crazy. You got to go. And she's like, well, I don't have the money to do it. About 6 months before we split, I agreed to let her quit her job and be a stay-at-home mom. Oh, and I was like, paying all the bills and stuff. Like, so she has this like new job and whatever. And like, it's not really paying. She doesn't, and the economy's tanked, right? You know, in my area, a 2-bedroom apartment's $2,200 a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, minimum wage here is $8.25. So doesn't really balance. And she's like, well, if you let my boyfriend move in, we can get out of here together in 6 months.
Absolutely like, not. That's not what's happening.
Oh, no. What did you say, CJ?
So no. I'm actually at this point in my life, I started doing this like long spiritual journey a few years ago, and I've got very strong control of my emotions, and I'm much better of a logical thinker. It's sort of like a stoic frame of mind that I've got. So I was like, I can continue to put up with you for a long time because the last thing I want is to be the reason my son loses his mother.
Yeah. Right?
So if I do something and he loses her, when he turns 16 and understands that it was my actions that caused that, he's going to hate me, right? Or at least bare minimum, I'm going to have a series of uncomfortable conversations with this child. So I didn't want to do that. And I was like, all right, if I let him move in, she's gone in 6 months. I can do this. So I let him move in. Well,
how long has it been?
It's been two years.
2 years?
Oh, I was right.
2 years. Three?
2 years.
Oh, my God.
Well, no, two and a half years, because 6 months after we broke up, I met my current girlfriend, and we've been together for 2 years now. So
2 years?
Yeah.
Two and a half years.
Is
this guy at least cool to you? Is he, like, at least cordial, or is he, like, a fucking...
I get along better with him. I get along better with him than I do with her.
Yeah, of course. Because that's men. Yeah. That's dudes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, so like the thing that helps me get past that with him directly is like, I was like, you know, when I was 23, if I wanted a chick, I wouldn't have cared if she was yours either. You know? So like, I don't really blame him because I would have done the same thing. I blame her. Right. It was her job to shut the advances down.
Exactly. Exactly. He's out there being a dude looking for the same thing that everybody else is.
Yeah, I don't know anything about that.
Right.
Looking for love?
Married women.
Oh, yeah. No. You're lying.
I don't know. I have way too much respect to do anything like that to another man.
Well, I mean, when I was 23, if I wanted your girl, I'd have tried to take her too. I'm
35 well,
now, and I would not do that anymore.
Well, that's the thing. When you're 23 and you walk into a bar or walk into anywhere, or like you said, on PlayStation, and all of a sudden some girl goes, puts her wedding ring in her pocket and goes, hey, I'll suck your dick in the bathroom. You go, fuck yeah, you will. And you get your dick sucked in the bathroom.
I consent.
Like, it's not really up to him.
You got to ask her to smile first. You can't just go to the bathroom.
I like when you walk in on him in the bathroom, in the men's bathroom doing coke, and they're like, lock the door.
I'll suck your dick. Let me see your teeth first.
Yeah. Never trust a fat heroin addict.
Ooh, that's a bad case of meth mouth. I'm good.
Where are you at now? You guys are all still living together. How does your girl feel about this?
Yeah. So, I mean, so my girl is, she's kind of like me. She's a very logical individual.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't really let her emotions get in the way of things. She's also like me in the fact where, like, if she gets upset about something, she needs to walk away from it, go sit down and think about it for a little while, and then come back and have a conversation. So, like, we disagree, but we don't fight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, the conversations. Yeah, you talk through. How long have you guys been together again?
2 years.
2 years?
Mm-hmm. 2 years.
Yeah. Okay, so when...
Are you listening to this guy when he talks? We're trying to give him advice.
Oh, wait, hold on. Okay, let me put this together. So you've been with your current girlfriend for 2 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your ex and her boyfriend have been living with you for 2.5 years.
Right.
So yeah. 6 months after the boyfriend moves in, how did you meet your current girlfriend? How'd that happen?
Plenty of fish.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, dude.
Nice. I met a lady online. Actually, can I bring this up real quick and then we'll continue on? I got a conversation with a lady online, an actual human being.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And you know what she said? Huh. As I was talking to her, and I was, you know, being me, she said that I was handsome and funny.
Oh, did she?
She did.
How did that make you feel in the inside?
It made me feel really, really good, and then she never talked to me again.
I was going
to
say, did you plug the podcast?
Yeah, I did.
Do you think those good feelings came from, like, prior self-esteem issues, or do you think that it just kind of boosted that a little bit?
My love language is words of affirmation, predominantly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But after that scenario of, you know, my wife leaving me, my ego is gone. And so when people do compliment me or give me words of affirmation, I have a difficulty accepting them now, even though I enjoy them.
Those 20 milligrams of straight dopamine.
That's right. And then it's gone. And then I'm like, you didn't deserve that.
I love compliments. Except from my wife.
Oh.
They don't mean the same.
Do you look at your wife when she compliments you? Like, what did you buy?
No, it's like, okay, I love you too. Thank you. But when a stranger is like, oh my God, you're so handsome. I'm like, oh my God, thank you. Thank you so much.
You know who likes me? Gay men like me. I get compliments from gay men quite a bit.
Have you ever thought
about it? I'm
always
like, well, this is flattering, but like.
Right.
But have you ever thought about it?
Yeah. Jeremy.
I mean, not really, no. Not. Playing with my own thing. I don't really want to play with anybody else's.
Right.
You ever watch gay porn?
Not intentionally.
Yeah, no, it never happens intentionally, but what, you know. I mean, you'll see it as you scroll.
There was six
it just
months.
Pops up.
There was 6 months before you met your new girl, so I don't know what you got into.
A lot of depression.
You meet your girlfriend, and 2 years have gone by, and she's aware of your living situation.
Yeah, she's been to the house. She's met my ex. She's met her boyfriend, well, fiance now. I think they're getting married. They're supposed to.
Oh no, uh-huh. Poor guy. Did you warn him?
Yeah, don't.
You're friends now.
She's probably already cheating on you.
Well, no, at one point I did get drunk one night and I thanked him for taking her off my hands.
Oh, such a dude thing.
That's a cool
You're
move.
You're a man's
that's
man.
That's actually
CJ.
A cool move, dude.
Absolutely.
I like that.
It also shows the healing that like the self-healing path that you've gone on and the path to you've gone. You're in full acceptance of the situation. And that's great for you because I was worried that acceptance was not going to be part of the equation when you had sent me the message. So yeah, you're already miles ahead of where you need to be just based on the acceptance portion, but continue.
Well, it wasn't easy at first. So like the very first day he showed up at the house, like he came through my front door and there was like a little animosity ahead of time where like online he was talking about like, yo, I'll beat your ass. The only thing I'm scared of is your gun. I'm like, fuck the ratchet. You want these hands? Come get them. And
I love it.
So
I prefer the gun.
Mm-hmm.
He gets the house. I'm actually online with a friend of mine. And I was like, yo, there's a dude came to my house right now. He needs an education. He's like, what are you going to do? I'm like, these hands handing out pop quizzes. I got to go. And I went downstairs and I walked right up to the dude and I like got nose to nose with him. Cause you know, he said he was going to beat my ass. Right. So I was like, there was a time in my life where I was about that. Like all you had to say was you want to fight? I'm like, yep. Boom. And I would hit you.
Did you ever think that maybe he watched gay porn?
Oh, yeah. It could be a possibility.
And he didn't want to beat that ass. He wanted to beat that ass up?
No.
No.
He does not like gay people.
Oh, no.
Why? Why?
Yeah,
why? Oh, no.
Obvious.
Why'd you go, oh, no?
Why is he?
He doesn't like gay people. Oh, no.
Why is he rejecting his own kind?
It's just because he's in the closet, Mike. Does your ex-wife have a penis?
Listen, if he's in the closet, he's so far in there, he's having adventures in Narnia right now. Like,
wait, wouldn't that just make you gay again?
Right, I'm saying if he's in the closet, he's so far in there, he's having adventures in Narnia. None of us would be able to tell.
And when he comes back out, he's a child again.
Right. It is what it is with him and stuff. Like, I'm cordial with my ex and whatever, but like, sometimes it's hard to really make decisions on like what I want to do. Like, you know, there's like hard life decisions involving my son and like how I want to progress. And do I really want to let her be the primary caretaker of him? Like I'm the one that makes all the doctor's appointments and does all the things involving the school. And like, I do everything for him. And she does what she has to.
Mm-hmm.
Right? What do you do for work? CJ?
I'm a truck driver.
You make pretty good money?
I make decent money. Like, I'm not... I make enough money that I don't really worry about my bills or, like, where my next meal's coming from.
So do you do better than your ex and her boyfriend?
Significantly. Yeah. I make double what they do combined.
Holy shit. So a bunch of...
I got some things rattling around in my head. I've been absorbing this story and trying to think of where the advice comes. Because the relationship stuff seems like you got it all figured out. You already figured that part out.
Yeah, the walls that you've built have definitely been beneficial to your situation. But now let's get to the present. I guess right now what you're saying is the present is if there is an opportunity to break away from this living situation, your child is the biggest player in deciding in that decision. Right.
Right. So like the conversations with my girlfriend about us living together. So she's a nurse. She owns her own house and everything. So eventually, like, the plan is for me to come and move in with her. And the question is, how hard do I fight? Like, do I try to take as much custody as I can? Do I go with a 50-50 agreement? Like, am I doing the right thing at all?
Are you paying rent? Right? You're paying rent where you're staying now, right? And they are too.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it split in half or three ways?
So it's a pretty big house that we're in. And so it's me, those two, my brother, and I have a roommate that lives there as well. So the rent gets split five ways.
Gotcha.
And a courtyard and a tennis court. We have a full movie theater indoor and a library. Bitches love libraries.
In ground and above ground pool.
I do have a green screen studio in there.
So I was just, and Mike, tell me what you think about this. If you were to move in with your girlfriend or get your own place, if you had enough money to still help them with rent because your son stays there as well, that's going to be good on you. Helping with insurance.
Yeah.
You say you set the doctor's appointments. The more that you do to help her out, no matter how shitty she is to you, is only going to benefit you in the long run.
Which is why I do it with a smile on my face.
Absolutely.
But, yep.
The question is, am I doing the right thing? Because a lot of the time, my decisions are being made by what's best for my son. And sometimes I feel like maybe I should be thinking about what's best for me. And I never think about that. Because, well, I'm a dad.
Yeah.
But we're all dads. But I can't. I feel like I shouldn't be solely defining myself by the fact that I'm a father. But then I feel bad when I do something where it's like, this is what's going to be best for, like, my mental state. This is what's going to be best for me in a spiritual manner.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm like, but is it what's best for my kid? Like, where does it go from being, well, I sacrifice things to be a father, to just being a martyr at that point, right?
Yeah. So based on that information, I think, is the relationship that you have with your kid and like what you think that's going to look like moving forward, that does affect your happiness. So when you're thinking about, like, this is, I should think about myself. I should think, you know, I need to make time for myself, self-care, making the decision that's going to be right for me in my life while incorporating my child into the equation. If having more custody of your child and making sure that he's safe and he's not going to be in a situation where his appointments are being missed or things like that. If you feel like more custody with your child is going to make you a happier person, take that into consideration as well. But I absolutely understand if you want to rely on the mother to have split. Realistically, best case scenario, it's a 50-50 split. She gets your kid half of the time, you get your kid half of the time, you both get to enjoy your child, and then you work out things like holidays. You know, this is something that I just went through. You know, I just got my divorce a couple months ago. So as amicable as you can be, you can say, listen, when we go to the courts, you know, you were not married, right? This is just...
Not even common law.
Yeah, so there's no, so you don't have to worry about any of that stuff, but you do have rights as a father. So you should get a free consultation with a lawyer Absolutely. It's, there's nothing that's going to stop you from at least talking to a lawyer and explaining the situation, because as much as I would love to give you advice on the legality of the situation, I think you should go to a lawyer. So my advice for you would be to at least get a free consultation, several free consultations. They're free. Most of them can be done over the phone.
Advice to get custody?
Advice to know your rights as a father. I want you to find out what the law regards you as when as the, you know, non-husband father to this kid, and the situations that you bring to the table when it comes to, you know, money and responsibility. What state are you in?
Pennsylvania.
Okay, Pennsylvania.
Ooh, I like Pennsylvania.
Like, for example,
why
Florida is
so I get to go to the nice places of Pennsylvania. That's probably why.
I mean, I'm not in a bad place of Pennsylvania.
Go through the Poconos. Oh, during fall. 30
minutes from there.
Oh,
I love it. It's the best. It's all tiny, small. There's nothing there.
There's a lot of brick houses.
Hills and trees. Mm. I mean, so ultimately, my home state is the best state, for sure. But I do love me some Pennsylvania, some
Aren't
Northeast.
Are you from Indiana?
No. What?
Nope, the different podcast. Never mind.
I'm insulted. Mike's from Indiana.
I'm not from Indiana.
Oh.
Mike's dad's from Indiana.
No, well, I mean, he lives there, but we're all us Riley boys are from West Virginia.
Oh.
You were born in West Virginia?
I was born in Bluefield, West Virginia.
You were born in West Virginia?
Moved to Florida.
I thought you were Floridian this whole time.
Well, I mean, think about it. 35 years minus two for being in West Virginia is 33 years of my life out of 35. I'm pretty Floridian.
That's 2 years of drinking. drinking West,
boob milk out
West Virginia fueled boob milk.
Hey everybody, Future Michael here. Just wanted to tell you about our artist of the week, Natalia Taylor, T-A-Y-L-A-R, featuring her song Bad Guy, courtesy of Adventure Cat Records. So thank you all for sending that over. Very talented. I highly recommend you check out her music. It's all great and good. I'm addicted to it, so you should be too, if you want to be cool like me. We're brought to you by Dungeon Studios, makers of 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons modules. Go to their website, dungeonstudios.co, to download a new module today. You're getting bored with these old modules, you've played them 1,000 times. Get a new one with new stuff and new things, and new mechanics, and new playable characters. Mental health is very important. Approximately 1 in 5 people in America suffer or have suffered from some sort of mental health condition. Seeking help is the first step, also maybe the hardest step for some people. So talking to someone like a life coach could be a great first step. Having somebody to talk to who listens, who may be able to offer a different perspective on the situations that you present. Perspective, by far, is probably one of the easiest things to correct, just kind of getting new insight into how to look at something. That could be a huge game changer for a lot of people. I'm not saying it's going to solve everyone's problem, but it's a great first step, and Kath is one of those people who is out there doing that. So, you know what? I'm going to shove the microphone in this box, and she can talk to you for a second. Okay.
Hi. Do you feel like you're ready to make changes in your life? Do you want to control your happiness? If so, I am now offering coaching sessions to help guide and encourage you to make those changes. You can reach out to me to schedule a session at coachingwithkath@yahoo.com or call 770-691-6061. And remember, you control your happiness.
Oh, so here's God. Here's the sticky part of the whole, like when I move out and have to look at the thing with my son. So there's been 2 times now where I've stood my ground with her, and in a tantrum, she's been like, fine, you want him, he's your problem, and refused to take care of him.
Ooh, get that on tape.
Oh, yeah. Abso-fucking-lutely.
Oh, get that on tape.
So I've, like, dropping him off at my mom's house at 2 a.m. because I have to be at work by 4, like, you know, for, like, a whole week. Like, and then she kind of, oh, I want my kid, I miss him, blah, blah, blah.
So you got to get the chance that
when I leave. Huh?
Got a good support system, your mom?
That is the only support system.
Is your mom? mom and your brother?
No, just my mom.
Oh, okay. At least you got a sports. How's her support system?
Yeah, your ex's. How's her support
system? Depends on the level of convenience they're feeling about having her in their lives.
There you go.
For 10 years of our relationship, they didn't even bother with us because I could not get along with her dad. Like, knockdown, drag out fights. Like, he tried to get physical a few times, and I almost took him up on it.
Yeah.
But, so, I'm worried that, like, my main concern is, like, I move out, right? And then I try to make a move. Like, this is what's going to be best for my son, and I want primary. She throws this tantrum, and then later on, it's, well, why don't I have a relationship with mom? Like, even though she and I don't get along together, and I wouldn't, like, top-tier her as, like, world's best mom or anything, like, she's not, like, horrible to him. Like, they have a good time together. He loves his mother, and it's important to me that he has the opportunity to maintain that relationship and that I'm not the reason it deteriorates.
Yeah.
So if she's going to ruin that relationship, she needs to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't want it to be because of me. And that's the sticky part, right?
Yeah.
That's what makes decisions really hard.
Right. So I think Jeremy's on a, he's it's always awkward to record people without their knowledge. That may not be the best way to go.
No, you can record whatever you want in your own house.
Yeah, I guess. You know,
just don't put the fucking recording device in the bathroom.
So
not here in Pennsylvania. I actually need to let her know that I'm recording.
So this is,
put up a sign.
So you are
put
a very,
it on the wall.
You're a very calculated guy. You like to come up with a plan. This is what it sounds like. Your ideal scenario is you have the ability to talk to her and say, listen, we're going to sit down and we are going to plan the rest of our lives in regards to our child. And it sounds like you started that because you're like, I want primary custody, right? So maybe don't come in with that.
Never.
She doesn't know that part yet. I have not told her.
Oh, okay.
I'm letting her think that she's going to be primary.
Yeah, don't.
So this is what you need to say. You need to say, listen, I think, for the sake, we both love our kid. We both love him so much. I don't think that it's far-fetched to shoot for a 50-50 custody. That is week on, week off, or 2 weeks at a time, 2 weeks at a time, however works best for you guys for doing your swaps. But if you can maintain a 50-50 custody of your kid's going to see his mom and his dad the same amount of time throughout the entire year. That's going to be a hard thing to argue with. And you're like, listen, I can facilitate a wonderful life for him. You're his mom, and I'm sure and confidently tell her that you believe in her, that she can also do the same thing. By doing that, Jeremy, you're shaking your head.
Don't listen to Mike.
Why?
Mike's got a very optimistic view about this situation, but she did you dirty for a long time.
But the thing is,
a lot of red flags.
Jeremy.
No, hear me out. Hear me out real quick. Don't tell her anything. First of all, don't tell her anything. Let her keep riding her thing. If I'm going to figure this out, we'll get our own place. In the meantime, you need to figure out your situation. You've already got a backup going to your girl's place, right? So you know on lock, no matter what happens, you've got a safe place to go. Your son has a safe place to go. Let her figure out her situation while you can, even if you did move out, like I said, throw them some rent, help them out. When you take the kid to school or you're setting doctor's appointments, you make sure the doctor knows that you were there, your signature's on things. Take pictures of this stuff. This is how my brother got full custody of his daughter, who does get to spend as much time as she wants when her mom wants to see her. Just because you've got primary custody doesn't mean you're taking your son away from your mom or their mom. If you're cordial with the mom, you can pick him up this weekend. That's fine. I know it's not on the, but you could pick him up. That only makes you look better by letting her get more time when you've got primary custody. But show that you're paying for stuff. Show that you're the one who's primarily talking to the doctors and the teachers. And just make sure you're the one who's always doing everything on paper. And then you take that evidence and you talk to a lawyer. She gets subpoenaed and it all happens. She doesn't sound... Don't tell her your plan. That's where I fucked up. Don't tell her your plan. Don't let her know. She did you pretty dirty.
I never show my hand.
It sounds like she did you pretty dirty. She's been cheating on you. That means she's been lying to you for 2 decades.
Are we going to give conflicting advice to this guy?
This is conflicting advice. And you know what, CJ? You know which one to take.
No. I'm still amenable to open communication. I think honesty, because this is the thing, Jeremy. You can combine both plans. You can attempt the first one. Listen, it's time. I'm gonna be out of here, and so I want to make sure that we're gonna be on the same page. I think that's important.
Move most of your stuff to the other girl's house, but make it seem like you're still living in that house.
No,
slowly,
Jeremy,
move your shit out.
Okay,
and then start giving them money for rent when you decide to leave.
Jeremy, you can do that with my. Let me finish mine.
When you walk in the room, throw rose petals everywhere. Buy her a vase of flowers, and then talk to her about full custody.
Jeremy, this. I'm telling you, our plans can be the same plan.
Combine them.
But you haven't let me fucking finish.
Combine them.
Okay, thank you. So you have the conversation because you're going to come in saying, I think the goal should be 50-50 custody. And you're going to use this interaction as the decider for you to go into guerrilla warfare. So when you have this amicable conversation, you come from a safe place, your tone, you watch your tone, you're calm, you try and do everything that you can to make it a safe place to have this conversation. You tell her, listen, obviously the goal should be 50-50 custody. In your brain, you're thinking primary because your kid's going to have a much better life. You can take care of, like, everything that you've said. So listen, you give her the opportunity to hear this conversation and possibly make some life changes, right? And then you say, listen, I know that this is hard for you. I know I'm probably not going to get an answer now. I'll give you a month. You let 1 month go by after this conversation, possibly check in on it once a week. Say, hey, listen, so how have you, you know, what are you thinking, you know, based on what we talked about? If she just continues to stonewall you or say, I haven't had time to think about it or anything like that, you let a month go by and then you implement Jeremy's plan.
No, he's already implementing my plan right now, and he doesn't even know.
Oh, he's doing it right now.
He's been doing it for two and a half years.
He's packing up his books.
He's been doing it for 2.5 years.
Well, what I'm saying is there has to be, you have to give the opportunity, in my opinion, this is my opinion.
Don't give her time to plot and scheme against you. That's crazy.
Not plot and scheme, but if...
If she had your back and would meet you face to face and shake your hand and be amicable, then she wouldn't have lied and cheated you for so long. That's crazy to just go ahead and trust the person who stabbed your heart.
Well, he's already going to be talking to the lawyer during that month period. I'm not saying, you know, to keep yourself without
he should just continue with those walls. CJ, continue doing what you're doing. You're doing the right moves. You're being cordial. You're living there. You're thinking about your son. I mean, we've got evidence right now recorded that all you care. The only reason you've still been there is because you love your son.
Yeah.
Like, if you think that he'll be better off with you, and this other place with your new girl. She's not even new. I mean, 2 years, that's not new.
No.
You know? What's crazy is my son calls my girl mom.
There you go. Aww. And yeah, she loves him. Mom. She's good with him. She's good around him.
I don't think they have like a super close bond relationship, but yeah, she cares about him and she likes to talk to him and like hang out with him and we go out and do stuff, but he's special needs and that take like I've dealt with it for 6 years. I didn't let her meet him right away.
Yeah, of course.
So he's only known her about half the time I have. So like, there's still that like sort of like adjustment phase where it's like, I'm used to kids being this way. This is a whole new experience for me. So I'm not like just bombarding her with him. Like I'm like slowly bringing it in. It's like an acquired taste, right? Like, so you kind of get used to that situation. Cause it's like, you know, you can have normal kids, which is already so hard to deal with. Kids are ridiculous. And then God's like, I'm going to challenge you to raise children on hard mode. Here's one that can't speak English and still shits his pants at 6 years old.
There you go.
You're like, oh, shit. You know, so it's hard to just like jump into a relationship and just ram, you know, that sort of situation down somebody's throat. It can make things very difficult very quickly. So it's like trying to be completely aware of her feelings and how she's dealing with it and like letting her come to terms and like come to her own comfortability with that situation in due time while still dealing with the situation on my end.
Yeah, I guess my question would be like, has she had the opportunity to mentally prepare herself for the possibility that she would be harboring your child as that in that living situation? If you move in with her, that she's going to be thrown into helping to raise the kid.
Yeah, yeah, and she's totally cool with the idea of doing that.
Okay,
it's just becoming accustomed to a 6-year-old who has the mentality of a toddler,
mm-hmm.
right? So it's not the easiest thing in the world. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, well, that's turn. Like, no, like it's not easy to deal with. It's very, very difficult. Like when you're looking at something that weighs 60 pounds and still wants to color on your walls.
Yeah.
So
mm-hmm.
it's a lot to get used to. It's a lot to become accustomed to. And like, I mean, if I was in her shoes and somebody was like, oh yeah, let's be together and we're going to get married eventually. And this is going to be awesome. By the way, here's my son who you can't really talk to yet because he's in speech therapy and he's getting better, but he doesn't really do that great conversationally, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, and like the autistic kids, they, like if you tell your daughter to do something, typically she'll do it. Maybe she gets obstinate and she's like, I'm not doing it. And then you get mad. And you're
then
like,
you hit her.
Oh, there's a cat. Holy shit. There's a cat.
Oh yeah.
I was not expecting a cat.
You just smack her in her little stupid face.
Right.
Get her back in line.
But you know, like there's ways of getting there's ways of getting your neurotypical daughter to do things where my autistic son, if he doesn't want to, he's not going to, and it doesn't matter to him
mm-hmm.
what you do, you know?
Yeah.
And then like typical disciplines don't work. Go stand in the corner. He's like, okay, I'm in the corner. I don't give a shit. You know, you have to figure out what matters. Like for him, it's sitting him on the second step. The first step, third step, fourth step, doesn't matter. He'll just sit there, play with his thumbs and stuff. You put him on that second step and the world comes to a crashing halt. And figuring out what that is hard. So becoming like, instead of having that person go from an infant to growing to his size and getting used to how to communicate with him and how to deal with him and his mannerisms and his tics and things like happy hands and stuff like that, that's very, very difficult for somebody who's never experienced before to come to contact with, and there needs to be an adjustment period. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. And it sounds like you've, 2 years, 2 years, it sounds like you've implemented your version of an adjustment period, and she's been, receptive to it. So
yeah, yeah.
I think you've done a good job there. And it's
also him, too. Yeah. It's also him, too. We've started doing sleepovers at her house with him.
Perfect.
But still, like around 8-9 o'clock at night, he's grabbing his backpack, going, "Let's go home. Let's go home."
Oh yeah.
I'm like, buddy, we're staying here, and he's like, "Why?"
Well, it sounds like you're doing everything right, man. You're really figuring it out.
I'm trying to, but sometimes it's hard to know if I'm doing the right thing or not.
Yeah, I think the plan that you have for the future and your kid is absolutely healthy, and I think that everybody's going to benefit from it. I still think an opportunity needs to be made just because I'm one of those people. It's like you have two people that made a kid. You need to make sure that everyone has an opportunity to weigh in on the situation. And then if it goes south, then you go gorilla. I think talking to a lawyer immediately about your rights as a father in your state specifically, because like, say for example, Florida is very difficult to pry kids away from their moms specifically. It's very difficult in our state.
We grow them up strong and they wrestle alligators. It's really hard to pull that kid away from them.
So consultations. And you may even get some of those lawyers may give you the same advice we're giving you. You know,
well, I yeah, feel like throw us
fantastic.
Like throw a smoke bomb and sneak around their back. Make yourself the fucking man on paper, dude. I think you're doing all jokes aside. You're doing the right thing, in my opinion. You've communicated. You've left the volatile situation, but obviously you can't just leave. You can't just move out because this kid doesn't want to stay the night over there. And your son's everything to you, and you're struggling between, do you take care of yourself or do you take care of your son? And I think you're finding a way to kind of handle both, bud.
Yeah.
Sounds like you got this good girl, and she's trying to integrate into your life. And making decent money, got a good job. Your kid loves you. Your mom's there to help you. I think you're mm-hmm. kind of on the right track. Keep going and just make sure you're stockpiling yourself for Ex Machina, dude.
Yeah.
If anything happens and you have to get out of there quick, you're set up and you still look good on paper and you're good to go.
Those receipts, I agree with Jeremy. Those receipts are going to come in handy if the courts have to get involved, because depending on how the initial conversation is going to go, she may immediately start going to the courts, and you are already on the same level.
You sound like a good dad, though.
Like a great dad.
Yeah.
So if I will gladly compliment you on your dadliness.
I try a lot. I didn't really have a dad. So, I mean, like, I have a dad. Like, I know who he is. I haven't seen him in over a decade, but like, he wasn't like a dad. You know, he liked beer a lot and booger sugar. So
who doesn't?
I don't.
I don't either.
I can never do cocaine. I'll like it too much. So I've never touched it.
Well, that's the thing. You got to do it because you love it. And then you do it until you're like, this isn't good anymore. And then you never feel like you missed out, or you never touch it again. It's great.
Or
it's best
of
both worlds.
You can just avoid it completely and never have to worry about it.
Until you have a bar slut sniff a fucking line off your dick in the bathroom.
MJSYPOD on all the things. Check us out online. Go to our website, majizzypod.com. We hit a treasure. There's clues in places. No one cares.
But, are we going to wrap things up with CJ? Are you just going to jump into...
I'm doing the boring
stuff.
Wow,
that sounds all great, CJ. Anyways, goodbye.
Oh, yeah, we have a question that we want to ask you. Are you aware of the question that we're about to ask you?
Yes, very.
All right. Oh, I love that. Do you want me to ask or do you want to ask?
Go ahead.
All right. CJ, we ask all of our guests this question, and for your own reasons... Who is better, Arnold Schwarzenegger or Sylvester Stallone?
So I have a problem with anybody who's willing to sell their dog to make a movie. So it's definitely Schwarzenegger.
Boom! Ha!
But he bought the dog back.
Ah, but he still sold him.
He got the dog back and he put the dog in the movie.
If you pawn your
Michael,
mother's
you
want to
know where I learned? You want to know where I learned that little bit of trivia about Stallone?
From Jeremy?
Jeremy told me.
God damn it.
You, Jeremy.
God damn it.
You did this to yourself, Jeremy.
But you're not worried about Schwarzenegger. Whatever, dude.
2024 is my year, Jeremy.
Oh, you think? Well, you're 2-1 now.
Schwarzenegger, like, banging his maid? No, I don't care about that.
It happened in my house.
That's great.
It happened in my house.
Well, thank you, CJ, for joining us. I hope were we insightful?
That's what I was trying to do before you jumped into the thing. Yep.
Yeah, I think it helps. I think it helps. At a minimum, it was reassuring, you know, because like questions, you like get outside sources, you know, like people who are unbiased and unobjective to it, and then they're like, "Yeah, I think this is what's going on." You're like, "Oh, okay, cool." So I'm not a complete dupe bag.
I didn't say that. Mike was saying that when he came back from the bathroom. He's like, this guy's a complete... I was like, Mike, don't say that about my buddy CJ.
Fuck you, Jeremy. Fuck you.
No, I'm really glad you listened to the show, man. And sounds like you're doing great and you're figuring it all out.
Yeah, thank you, man. Thank you, CJ.
Do you want to do the outro with us?
Yeah.
The thing that we do?
Oh, sure. Well, I haven't finished doing our plugs.
Well, I'll fucking do them.
We have a Jizzy Pod. MJSYPOD on all the things. You can find us wherever you listen to podcasts. We're also on 99.1 WDJY in Atlanta every Tuesday at 9 p.m. And we have a playlist. If you want to submit your music, we play people's music. You can send it to us to our email at ajayuhjyeah@majizzypod.com. And we'll play your music. We'll promote your band. And also, all those bands are featured on a playlist. It's called Majizzy Playlist. It's spelled the same, except there's a space between Majizzy and Playlist. You can go listen to our Patreon episodes and our second Spotify channel, Michael and Jeremy Steal Your Podcast Supreme. With all of the extra content on there, it'll bring you hours of fun. And what else? We have a phone number.
CJ, what's that phone number?
What?
903-287-0660.
Holy
shit.
Love
it, buddy. Love it.
CJ's memorized our phone number. Yeah, see? Call it, damn it. Call the phone number.
Oh, that was great. Something told me that he would know.
I don't know why. I never would have thought of that. All right. Is there anything else, Jeremy?
Next week, we're going to be doing an interview with Scotty from Nerdlinger.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, check out next week. We have another music episode, and we're going to have... That's a great idea. We should be promoting our next episodes.
You're welcome, buddy.
We have the lead singer and bassist of the band Nerdlinger in Australia. His name is Scotty, and we're going to have him on next week, so don't forget to tune in. All right, I think that's it.
Love you, Mike.
Love you, Jeremy.
Love you, CJ.
Love you, CJ.
Love you, too.
Peace.
Bye.
We saved a life today, Jeremy.
I think we give really good advice. Yes. We should probably change the platform of our show.
I also thought it was strange that by the time we finished, CJ actually came here to the studio. I didn't realize you lived so close, CJ.
I didn't realize it either.
Yeah, I mean, you could have just come here. It was 4 minutes.
Hey, Mike, did you put any holes in that box?
I don't hear her talking anymore.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, no.
Dr. Kath? Dr. Kath. Dr. Kath. Oh shit. All right, guys, we need about 50 pounds of kitty litter and a couple of shovels.
Jeremy, lock the door. We'll just frame CJ. Go, go, go.
Yeah, I gotta get my kid together. Give me 1 second.
I thought your kid's at the grandma's.
Did the kid fall apart? Beautiful.
That was wonderful.
Wow. Have you ever thought about voice acting, CJ?
I have an audio drama called Van Wurst that we're actually in the process of bringing back. You can find it on YouTube still. It was the very first podcast I ever did like 7 years ago.